we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
This is Dr. Peter Bregan.
And this is Ginger Bregan.
And we're here on our first ever together radio show or TV show on America Out Loud, The Pulse. And we want to thank Malcolm for making this happen. I've been trying for years to get my wife, decades, to do stuff with me on the air. But she's always told me I'm the pretty face and she's the brains behind it. Today, we go together. And we are going to be talking about things that you'll never hear anywhere but on this show in the detail and depth. And we start out with something really, really frightening. The World Health Organization is actively planning to not only control the next pandemic, but to get agreement from the major countries of the world to actually make treaties with them, giving over our sovereignty, our health care, to the World Health Organizations. We will prove this before the first segment is over. In the meanwhile, Ginge, talk some about, folks, what this is going to look like.
What this is going to look like is if the World Health Organization takes over healthcare on a global basis, is it's really going to look like COVID-19. Maybe not the lockdowns, unless there's a disease sweeping around, at which point we could all be ordered back into our homes and away from our businesses. But in addition to that, if you just think about when you want to call and make an appointment to go and see a doctor, maybe you've got an infection or your child has a temperature, that is not going to look like America Healthcare anymore. America Healthcare has already changed since COVID-19. And it is going to continue to change because, of course, what the World Health Organization wants to do is to make everything really fair. That sounds great, except what it means is they want to totally even things out in terms of services across the board. And across the boards means around the world. So the healthcare that we have is going to be the same as the healthcare everyone else has in the world. In a perfect world, that might be terrific, but in reality, what that means is the only way to make everything completely even at this point is to lower the standards in the world-class best healthcare areas of the world. We've already seen that happening, and it's going to continue.
And remember, the head, the director general of the World Health Organization is a criminal communist gangster type of guy who was put into office and then maintained there with no competition by the Chinese Communist Party. And remember, the World Health Organization is a part of the UN. And these are extremely left-wing, extremely progressive people moving toward fascism, moving toward, as we show in our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, they're moving toward the fusion of corporate life with government life, and that's fascism. So we're going to get some outrageous form of leveling of our healthcare system. And before going into that some more, because at this point people are probably saying, where in the world would anything like that come from? And it comes from a whole series of events now that have been going on for a year, and that despite our pushing this in various ways, no one is picking up on it. Let's go directly to the start of the real horror show, which is January 24th of this year, not 10 years ago, not even a year ago, January 24th, 2022, Tedros is speaking to his WHO executive committee. And in addition, listening in are top representatives of healthcare and even of nations from around the world. And well, previously, all the conversation had been about having WHO take over the next pandemic because this one had been so sloppy, but WHO had been so good and worked so well. Of course, it covered up for the communists. It delayed telling the world it was infectious because they wanted to get this germ out throughout the world. But the view of the global predators is that WHO did a great job on their behalf. Well, they're going to change it now. The new priority, and I'm going to quote from the January 24th, 2022, Director General Tedros's address to the WHO Executive Committee. And he says, the priority is to urgently strengthen WHO as the leading and directing authority on global health at the center of the global health architecture. That's serious stuff. He really means it. So let me kind of read that again. I mean, it's just got to get into the public consciousness. And that's the job of our folks out there, you in the audience. Get this into the public consciousness of the fact that we're facing now, socialized medicine in the U.S., we're facing extreme socialized medicine globally, worldwide, under WHO, bypassing what the individual countries are going to do. And again, there's an urgently strengthen WHO as the leading and directing authority on global health at the center of the global health architecture. And he goes on to say a specific goal is a stronger international health framework with WHO as the coordinating authority. And then he concludes his speech with a kind of a keyword, almost a little poem or a little announcement that you could make to a cheering crowd of fellow progressive fascists. He says at the end, we are one world. We have one health. We have one WHO. Look at those connections. World, health, WHO. This is what we're in for, folks. And Jiz, you want to make any comments on that before I go on and explain how the world's responding to this thus far?
Yes. The way that translates to your or my personal care is it's no longer you go and see your physician or another healthcare person and you have a relationship between you and the physician, and you are primary to that care. The primary now is the care, the care of the world health. And if you're sick in a way that's a real problem, that is not as important and doesn't take priority to the world health. So just as we saw when people were ill, they weren't appropriately cared for during COVID because the primary goal was to protect the whatever health was remaining and to protect those that were healthy. And the same is true with the vaccines, although the vaccines don't work and they do cause tremendous adverse effects. The individuals who embrace the vaccines think that that is making a huge difference. Your whole personal health is going to be subjugated to whatever is considered the most important by people we don't know about, by people we've never voted for, by people we've never selected within the framework of our own community, let alone our own state or our own nation. And God help us all if we come to that point.
Now, one would think that this is something that just would not garner support. Well, the support was building up for a whole year beforehand in the World Health Organization back in November 29 of 2021. That's just a couple of months before the January 24th announcement. Our Secretary of State spoke to the organizing body, the governing body of the World Health Organization, and said that he was there to, quote, demonstrate our commitment to strengthen the WHO and advance public health. Now, you'd think maybe when a statement came out that people would wise up and say, he's going too far, the man's out of control. Even though he'd been hinting at this before, he'd never come out and just outlined how WHO was going to be in charge so definitively. Well, to the contrary, on that same day, on that very, very same day or day after now, our mission to the World Health Organization came out and said the U.S. strongly supports the ongoing efforts to strengthen WHO. On March 3rd, several days later now, plenty of time to digest all of this, the European Council and the European Union, these are the governing bodies of Europe, declared that they were totally in favor of these new moves and that explained just how it was going to come about. Of course, WHO had already explained it, and it's in the bylaws and constitution, that they were going to sign legally binding agreements under international law. These could be treaties, or they could have some other form, but they would be legally binding. And they were going to build on the One Health approach, which is essentially the Great Reset, where you don't even necessarily put people first, but they're in a triangle with animals and the environment. The purpose that they specifically discuss is a spirit of collective solidarity. That's what's going on in the world. And in today's show, you'll see that even our own corporations in the U.S. and their in regard to what's going on currently in the world are talking about a collective solidarity. That's what we have under the Great Reset or the World Order. Now, the U.S. mission to the UN, but the World Health Organization represented 40 other nations who were going to sign on to the new direction of WHO. So we have the United States supporting it and 40 other members. The 40 members include, I won't list them all, Norway, Korea, Switzerland, Great Britain and Northern Ireland, all the member states of the European Union, the USA, a few others thrown in, India, Japan. These are large, large companies, our neighbor Canada, our fellow democracy, Australia. This is a huge movement, folks. We cannot exaggerate the risk involved here. It is colossal. It cannot be exaggerated. And we want you to really take it seriously.
I think what we need to remember is what happened with COVID. And what happened with COVID is something none of us imagined could happen before 2020 came about. And that is, we were told, we in the United States, those of us in Canada, in every other democracy in the world, and in most other places, with very few exceptions, we were told to lock down, to stay home, to shutter our businesses, to not send our children to school, to stop going to church or to other religious services, to to avoid and not attend and participate in any kind of social events, to visit our families and loved ones and friends, to be present at the deaths of our elders and other members of our community who were close to us and dearly loved, not to be able to participate in their funerals. Our worlds were demolished for 2 years. And what the global predators learned is that they could do this if it related to our health. So that has elevated the World Health Organization at this point to be the tip of the spear to create a complete global totalitarian control mechanism of all of us. And later, at some other point, Peter and I will probably go back and take a look at the plans that we've seen and that we've explored and researched about what needed to be done with the world in order for it to work right. And those were global predator plans that have been made over a period of years. But for now, what we can remind ourselves that we have all experienced global predators and totalitarianism on behalf of global predators. And I don't know about you folks, but I never want to have that experience again.
And many of you are probably thinking, well, our Senate would never sign such a treaty. According to international law and the Constitution of the World Health Organization, the UN, the president could sign it, the Secretary of State could sign it, probably the vice president could sign it, and the Secretary of State could appoint anybody they wanted to go and have what's called this power of authority and to sign for all the rest of us. And of course, under the current administration that we have, they'd have no problem going along with this. You really need to think about, is Joe Biden going to say, no, I'm going to protect American sovereignty? We will see today that Joe Biden has called for the new world order. Joe Biden's called for it. He is not going to protect our sovereignty against the World Health Organization and the global predators.
Along with a healthy immune system, clean air is vital for optimal health. According to the EPA, we spend 90% of our time indoors, where germs are most concentrated. It's essential to clean indoor air. Genesis is the only technology that quickly, safely, and effectively kills pathogens both in the air and on surfaces in seconds, reducing the viral load in any environment. The powerful, well-built Genesis Fogger produces a dry, ultra-fine mist using HOCL, which occurs naturally in our own immune systems. We'll be living with airborne diseases in the future. New viruses and antibiotic-resistant superbugs are no problem for Genesis. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next. Visit GenesisFogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at GenesisFogger.com/OUTLOUD.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
I wanted to take a step back now because we've been talking about why the World Health Organization is dangerous, but I don't feel we've gotten to the real underpinnings of why it's so dangerous. We need to consider what freedom is and what totalitarianism is and what democracy is for a moment, because that's the root of the matter. The matter is that when when individuals and cultures have freedom. And that includes both the freedom to be creative and to make independent decisions. And to the more freedom there is, the more individuals thrive and the more cultures and civilization thrives. And without freedom, when there is a greater and greater levels of oppression, individuals suffer to larger and larger degrees.
Yeah, and freedom includes the stuff of the Bill of Rights, which is was a unique idea of the founding fathers and mothers of this country. Freedom of speech is incredibly, incredibly important. Nothing could be more important than freedom of speech, because if you can't communicate to other people openly and honestly about what you think and have equal access to the media and to newspapers, to publishing, to radio, to TV, then you don't have a free flow of ideas in the country. You don't have freedom. You end up suppressing individuality. And during COVID-19, we began to really see the depth to which the World Health Organization, backed by the UN, backed by Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and his concept of the Great Reset, supported by communist China, working through the UN, working through WHO, how much American freedoms have been not just tested, but overwhelmed. I think it's really necessary, painfully necessary to say that we are not a legitimately free country anymore. This was never more obvious when our election, the election that supposedly installed Joe Biden as the legitimate president, was controlled and manipulated from so many different directions that it's impossible, really, if you know the facts, to call it a free election. Regardless of the whole issue of the tampering with the voting machines, and regardless of the whole issue of how Trump was way ahead, and then in the early morning hours, all counting in the critical states stopped, and all of a sudden, within an hour or two, Biden was way ahead, and Trump was actually losing votes while great masses of tidal waves of votes were coming in for Joe Biden from the critical states, because the media was entirely controlled in terms of suppressing any discussion of conservative values, of free speech, of the value of capitalism when it is controlled, when it is also countered by the government instead of hand in hand with the government. The result was that Hunter Biden was found through his own laptops that he left for repair to be in collusion with China, in collusion with other countries, that his father was doing one email, the big guy was getting 10% of his take, multiple tens of millions of dollars pouring into the Biden family from the Ukraine, from Russia, from China. And all of that news was suppressed throughout the end of the election. That's severe election tampering when so many people are getting their news from the old media, from the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal, and from CNN and from the big networks, all suppressing this information. That's controlling the election, because many people afterward, when polls said that they knew nothing about this at all, this corruption coming out, being published by the New York Post.
So I think we need a life raft here, because I look at this stuff with you all day long, and yet it starts to feel dizzying. It starts to feel so hopeless. If we agree and if we start with the premise that freedom is better than authoritarianism, than totalitarianism, and if we move from that point, then there are a few things that we need to sort of personally embrace, at least I do, in order not to feel just adrift, in order not to feel like I should throw up my hands and go, oh, what the heck? It looks on the outside like between the media and the propaganda and the kind of oppressive rules we have just in the United States, let alone even more right, totalitarian.
And taking down the platforms. I mean, one other thing about why this is not a free nation right now is at the end of, toward the end of the campaign, they took Trump off all his platforms,
right,
undermined and destroyed his alternative platform, and then began just knocking everybody who had a critical opinion of COVID or a critical opinion of the Democrats and even some of the Republicans, knocking them off of all their platforms.
Right. It makes you feel so isolated. It makes each of us feel so isolated. And of course, it has a chilling effect on any kind of speech in social media. Even if you are lucky enough to get together with your neighbors or friends or at church and so forth, who are you going to offend if you start talking about some of these things? So I think that one of the most fundamental things to do, at least that has helped me so much, is to embrace the principles first. What I've told myself is I'm going to embrace these principles and I'm going to hang on to them like a life raft. They're going to be that steady influence along with the relationship with you and with my husband, and along with that steadying relationship with close colleagues and friends and family. I'm going to cling to these basic ideas and go from there. Because, of course, in addition to the actual manipulation and a direct oppression that we've experienced and continue to experience in our country and that we witness in others, which is its own trauma. Think of Canada and what happened with the convoy, the freedom convoys at the end. In addition to that, the propaganda is constantly messing with our perspectives of what's going on in the world. So it's a tough time to try and figure things out. And I found for myself that having these fundamental principles of freedom are so important.
If you have a constitutional democracy, that is a country that is modeled after the fundamental principles of the United States, a constitution that protects individual freedom, a government whose purpose it is to protect individual freedom. In constitutional democracies, you solve nearly all or come near to solving all the world's problems. And that is never discussed. If we want to solve pollution, you have to build democracies, constitutional democracies around the world. You have to educate people and train people. The U.S. is far less of a polluter and always has been than communist China or North Korea or any of the other communist nations. While they may talk about the environment, we actually develop the clean water, the cleaner air, and the other basic principles of avoiding pollution have been stronger in the U.S. And as China grows more powerful without becoming a democracy, it becomes a worse polluter. I heard recently that they're putting online one more coal company just about every day, coal burning facilities. So that's one principle. Another, if you want to avoid famine, Democratic republics do not have famine. So if you're worried about hunger, work toward a democratic republic that has individual freedom in it. If you want to avoid wars, have more democratic republics with individual freedom. They never go to war against each other. And they, if they do go to war, they end up killing or having killed many fewer of their citizens than do the totalitarian companies. We need freedom.
I think that individual freedom is an aspect of democracies. And do you think that that particular aspect, the cherishing of the individual, is core to the fact that human beings survive so much better in democracies?
Oh, absolutely. And they survive better in cultures that treasure individual human beings. It is not just announcing freedom. It's having, in most cases, a Western Judeo-Christian tradition that has said for a long time that there is a God and we're made in God's image. And all of the global predators, we go into great detail in this in our book, COVID-19, The Global Predators. All the global predators reject constitutional democracy, including Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab. All the global predators reject individual freedom, the Bill of Rights, constitutional democracy. Bill Gates does, Klaus Schwab does, of course, the Chinese communists do. Virtually everyone I've been able to locate, including the tech companies which support Chinese suppression in order to make money and hobnob with the communist Chinese and our top billionaires, they all want to do business with China. They believe in authoritarianism. So what is basically needed is what I call a refounding of America and reclaiming ourselves as free people. And we need to do this around the world. Progress comes from constitutional democracies that respect individual freedom. And we have completely obliterated those concepts from our educational systems. We don't allow them on radio or television anymore. You have to go to sources that are considered out of the mainstream to hear the idea that the founding of this country produced its greatness, not because of slavery. That resulted in a horrendous civil war, the worst slaughters we had. So you know, we really need to get back to constitutional democracies and freedom. It's the key.
And I believe that it's the shining city on the hill concept where our country, America, can become the beacon that it has been, still is to so many people, but boy, we're slipping. But it can become, again, that really brilliant beacon of hope and freedom and inspiration to peoples around the world as to how they can create the same kind of free society in their own countries. It's not the same as nation building where you sweep in and change everything in somebody else's backyard, but it's setting that brilliant example and actually putting it into effect and holding it up as that light for the rest of the world to see.
That's right. And we have to, in America, really proudly stand up for the things we believe in and announce it to the world. Obviously, we're going to have to continue building our own platforms like America Out Loud, where we're speaking from right now, like Brighteon. We've got to where we have our TV station. There's just no question that the globalists are out to blot out individual freedom, to create a new world order, which they now euphemistically are calling the Great Reset, but which is in fact a fascist kind of collaboration between the UN and between WHO, the World Health Organization, the Chinese communists, the global predators, all bent on becoming more wealthy, more powerful. at the expense of sovereign nations. And sovereign nations stand in the way of globalism. America is the most powerful and the biggest sovereign nation. It's the nearest still to believing in freedom, although, folks, we are readily losing it. We're readily losing our freedom. And we have to just stand up to this erosion of our whole identity as a freedom-loving, democratic people.
And every single one of us needs to do that. We have to be mindful every day of how we are encouraged not to speak out, not to express our opinions. And we need to fight against that. I fight against that all the time. I get ready to make a comment on Twitter and I think, oops. And then I go, no, I need to say the truth about this or that issue. And then I do it and I take that risk. And it gets easier the more you do it.
And if they take us down from Twitter, we'll do exactly what we did when they took us down from YouTube 45 minutes after I gave a video on our new book. They took us down. And we have to just be brave in rebuilding the freedom institutions in this country. And it's going to be a long task. But in the meanwhile, we really have to stand up to Joe Biden and what's going on in this country. And we'll pick up on that in the next segment.
This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the immune super boost that I need. Go to healthycell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 120 times per month. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains full effective doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day, pill-free, ultra-absorption ingestible gel. It tastes great, comes in a convenient squeeze gel pack, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfolger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
So, Ginger, we began talking about in the first segment the World Health Organization and its plans through treaties and declarations, which, as far as they're concerned, don't have to go through the U.S. Senate or anybody's Senate, who plans to develop these treaties and declarations in order to take over the healthcare system of individual nations around the world. And we saw that the United States officials involved with WHO were agreeing to this. Our Secretary of State was saying in a general way, we have to empower WHO. We see the European Union, that is all of the European states, plus Great Britain and Ireland, that they are endorsing this. And this is the way democracies give themselves away to totalitarian power. Because the UN, which is behind WHO, and Bill Gates, who has three different ways of supporting the World Health Organization, not just through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This, again, is in our book, COVID-19, The Global Predators, and the Chinese communists who have the largest influence with this criminal Marxist Tedros, who is the head of the World Health Organization. It is through this kind of operation that destroys the sovereignty of nations that the power is going to be exerted over us. Now, what I want to remind people is that this has already happened. So it's not like, hey, what goes on in the future if WHO takes over? We know. When WHO assumed the power over the pandemic response and was authorized to do so by our CDC, our FDA, our NIH, and Fauci and his institute, there were arbitrary clampdowns around the world. Freedom of speech was completely suppressed. Any criticism of the government's control over the pandemic and its baseless pseudoscientific practices was simply expunged. Doctors who wanted to do proper treatment were threatened and sometimes had their licenses taken away. One of our colleagues is being examined, or they're trying to examine her with psychiatrists to show that she's crazy, that anything they can do to take away free speech. So we are there. Now, will we take the second and final step, which I think would end our freedom in our democracies, of letting the World Health Organization utterly run our health systems? There's every indication that we would. We've been building up to this for a long time. I was stunned, I remember, looking back on the elder Bush addressing Congress in a chiding way, saying whether you like it or not, we are heading toward, and he said, a new world order, and it's going to mean the policing of states around the world will no longer be done by the U.S., but by the U.N. peacekeepers. So here, years ago, we have this going through the thinking of our top executive. Now, on March 21st of this year, not long ago, days ago, Joe Biden told a group of people, and I'll tell you in a minute who they are, that business had to adopt and support the New World Order. And that's a quote. And I'll just read you the sentence, the two key sentences. He told them, and now is a time when things are shifting. We are going to, there's going to be a New World Order out there, and we've got to lead it. And we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing so. Well, the reason that the rest of the free world has to be united is because it stands in the way of the New World Order. To the extent there's freedom and national sovereignty, that's the key, national sovereignty, protecting the freedom of its people. That's what a constitutional republic is. To that extent, there will be no world order. There will be no great reset, which is a euphemism for the new world order to make it more palatable. Now, who was he talking to? And I'll just take a minute to tell you who he was talking to and get Ginger involved. Ginger actually is the primary author of our March 25th weekly column on America Out Loud. Goes along with our weekly radio show. And it's called President Biden Owns the New World Order. I mean, you own it, Mr. Biden, you own it. And indeed he did. He took possession of it. He's responsible for it. he's got to be held responsible for this. Well, when I first heard he was talking to the New World, to the Business Roundtable, I thought maybe it was a Sunday MSN or a Sunday CNN talk show. No, in fact, he was talking to one of the most powerful organizations in the world. The Business Roundtable is an organization of all of the American top executives, and that means only presidents and CEOs. Nobody else. Their assistants aren't there. They may be there, but they're not the representatives. They don't send substitutes. So Biden was telling the heads of AT&T and Bank America and other executives, that is CEOs and presidents, that they were going to have to join the New World Order, give up a big chunk of America's sovereignty. Now, I just want to list some of those companies, and then I'll hand it over to Ginge. Abbott, Aflac, Amazon, American Airlines, American Express, AT&T, Bank of America, Bayer USA, Best Buy, Lockheed Martin, Marriott International, MasterCard, McDonald's, Intel, JP Morgan, Pfizer, Oracle, PayPal, and all these companies, 181 companies, signed on in 2019 to the prelude to this when they declared that they were basically joining the Great Reset and they were going to endorse the whole idea of the shareholders no longer being totally in charge or primary, but rather the stakeholders, these unnamed influences, which could be the military-industrial complex, the health empire that we describe in our book. It could be Black Lives Matter. It's entirely arbitrary who these global predators choose to be influenced by. And that's what we're looking at right now. We're looking at a very, very dangerous situation in which our own president wants us to join the global predators. The world as we know it is changing in front of our eyes.
I think that one of the things that we need to address is this concept of stakeholders. Stakeholders are all these different groups and entities and individuals who in some way are involved with or benefit from or are touched by the activities of the corporations or governments or nonprofits that make up this World Economic Forum and this global kind of management of the world. Stakeholders do not include individuals. There's no discussion of individual human beings in the stakeholder conceptualization. There are lots of different groups and entities.
Or human rights.
There's
never any discussion of individual human rights.
Absolutely correct. That no discussion of human rights. It's like humans as individuals and their human rights are erased. I think that there's more of an emphasis on the environment and various aspects of the environment, be it the weather or be it a endangered species, than there is of the individual, which I am beginning to feel is the most endangered species of all. The individual human being and the concept of the value of the individual is missing from this so-called New World Order.
That is so well said, Ginger, so well said. I mean, if we think about this, democracies were set up to represent stakeholders, starting with the individual who is free to vote. The stakeholders that these people respect such as very loud communist groups like Black Lives Matter, or powerful lobbying groups, which have a lot more influence, like the military-industrial complex or the agricultural complex. They're responding really to their buddies in big business, the powers that they feel they want to placate. That's what it's all about. Why would a company respond to a stakeholder? Because it's in the company's interest. And democracies were set up to prohibit this kind of elite governance, which is the story of humanity. Mm-hmm. Humanity has been continually existing under the yoke of bullies with various stakeholders and various power groups vying. What the founders tried to establish was the opposite of this. They tried to establish a government with a Bill of Rights which says, thou shalt not interfere with individual freedom without some very good reasons. You won't interfere with religion. You won't interfere with speech. You won't interfere with the sanctity of homes. You won't be allowed to take over people's lives exactly as the globalists want to do and did during COVID-19 and are still doing under the excuse of COVID-19. So really the big key here is constitutional democracies were created for the purpose of the people having input into their governance while controlled by certain balances, certain checks within the governments, like having a judiciary, having legislature, having an executive, and by having the ability to change the Constitution, but only under very special circumstances. The whole point of constitutional democracy is to push the stakeholders out of the picture and to bring in a democratic procedure for deciding how a government will spend its money, for deciding how businesses will be regulated, for example. Businesses can't regulate themselves by deciding who their stakeholders are. There's never any discussion here of anti-monopoly. There's never any discussion of anything that would limit their power.
Yes. And one thing we need to remember as we begin to wrap up is that this is not a done deal yet. We are not completely beaten as human beings and as humankind. And we need to look at and examine every single way we can resist, from identifying when we aren't saying something we should that's the truth, and when we're withholding and not communicating honestly with our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, our families, and with compassion and love, but with truth, to recognizing that we are being constantly bombarded with propaganda, the intention of which is to demoralize us. There is a constant attempt to be demoralizing us. And we need to remember our God. We need to turn to nature. We need to turn to the love that we have for each other and the love that we have for the brilliance of humankind. And remember that and embrace it.
Get involved, get engaged, you know, work on every level to retake our democracy, our constitutional democracy. Work on the school board level, work on the level of your community, work on running for offices, do everything you can. Set up groups to read books and have discussions. And if you feel very lonely, even in San Francisco or New York City, there are groups. You have to find conservative political groups that meet your needs as a freedom-loving American, somebody who believes in the American Constitution. Once you get involved in this whole process, once you begin to support places like America Out Loud, once you start really listening to radio and TV shows that will engage your heart and your mind, and once you start talking with neighbors and friends and seeking out like-minded people, you're going to have a new lifetime. Ginger and I, when we got involved in this movement, the freedom movement in America, we were very scared, very frightened. We just didn't know what would happen. And what has happened is we have met the most wonderful and the best people in the world imaginable. Many of them are God-fearing. Many of them are Christians, like Ginger. Some of them are Jews like me, but they all hold high ideals. They all believe in a purposeful life where we stand up for what we believe in. You will find yourself in a whole new world. You'll find couples who share these values and are fighting for America's freedom. You'll find people who believe we should rejoice that we have the opportunity today, placed here by God or accident. We believe by a superior being. We believe by a loving God, placed here now to stand up for freedom at a critical moment in American and world history.
And we're out of time. Thank you.
Thank you for being together with me on this radio show.
So exciting. Thanks.
And thank you for listening.